And welcome to episode 3 of r/niche interests. So this week, this episode, I'm going to be talking to my two close friends, Laura and Sean. I think they were too scared to do individual podcasts, so they had to do it together. You know, codependent. It's a very vague episode. We kind of talk about music, or like more specifically 2010s pop music, talk about Eurovision. We have a lot of fun, so enjoy the episode. Welcome to my two guests, Laura and Sean. They said that they wanted to introduce each other, so I'm gonna let them do that.
Hello. So Sean is a third year IR and history student. It's funny that he's a third year because he's actually a bit older than all of us, but that's okay. What are Sean's interests? He likes running and he's a big fan of music.
So anyways, is it my turn?
Yeah.
So this is Laura. She's an IR student, surprisingly. Yeah, she always says that English is her second language, which is not true.
Wow.
She's from Finland, which is quite cool as well. We kind of bonded over Sigrid, which is quite cool. That's why we're going to talk about is like 2010 pop music. And yeah, we're happy to be here.
We're okay. So excited. Thank you for having
Amazing.
Us,
Amazing. So, they were quite vague with their their niche interest was. But they said that they wanted to talk about 2010s pop music, which, you know, I fuck with, so yeah, what do you want to talk about?
I think it's funny because that's actually how we became friends, because we shared like a few modules together last year, and then I remember distinctly there was one time in the library where we were sat there doing work next to each other, and then Sean saw what song I was listening to on my phone, and he was like, oh my god, I love that song. And it was like Most Girls by Hailee Steinfeld.
Wasn't that song? It was Sigrid.
Was it?
Yeah,
no,
Sigrid. Yeah.
And yeah, and then that kind of led to a rabbit hole of us discovering that both of us have a horrendous music taste sometimes.
Yeah. Someone else described it as they have the taste of McDonald's, the music that they're playing.
But that's the thing, like, people often assume that 2010 music is basic and like bad, but there is value to it.
Nobody assumes it's bad.
No, they think it's really commercial, first of all. Like, some friends say it's very commercial, it's made by industry plants, but like at the end of the day, I think it's also about the amount of enjoyment you get out of it. And I think a lot of times, like, these songs, they're really bombastic, like what do you call it, the choruses, and like,
yeah,
like, I mean, I would say
the simplicity of it gives you joy. Yeah, they're not the most meaningful songs, but
they are still great.
I mean, I would say that people generally think that 2010 songs are more authentic than the current pop songs.
Definitely.
Because, I mean, Industry Plants, that wasn't back then. Mm. Industry Plants is like a now thing.
Fair enough.
True.
And I remember during my boarding school times, like, whenever people asked me who my favourite artist was, I would definitely say, like, oh, Bruno Mars, or
Short King.
Coldplay, and, like, my friends would be like, oh, what, Travis Scott, or, like, other things. But, like, I think it's, to a certain extent, liking 2010 music is quite cool in itself, because it's like you're just not afraid of liking anything that's deemed lame in the world.
And it's nice because it's like the music that we grew up with.
Exactly.
So it's very nostalgic.
But your high school story definitely comes back to the point which I've told you all along, is that your friends at school weren't laughing with you. They were laughing
I know,
at you.
But I didn't really care as well.
They were just sat there like listening to
I was confident about myself.
And then there's like
a
young 16-year-old Sean being like, yeah, I'm listening to Hailee Steinfeld. Like, come on now. I don't know. For me, I was like, I don't know. I don't think I ever told people about my music taste.
No one really cared about your music taste.
Yeah. Also, my brother just used to make fun of me, which is understandable, I guess. But I think it's been fun to rediscover, you know?
Wait, when were you... So my age that I started listening to pop music was around like 12 years old. And my first pop song I listened to was Firework by Katy Perry. I remember it vividly.
Yeah.
And then since then, like, my siblings all listen to pop music, and like my brother loves like Imagine Dragons, Demons.
Oh no! Oh god!
You know what? I respect him for
and,
that.
And my sister's a cooler. She doesn't listen to pop music at all. She
pop music
she doesn't like She doesn't like Taylor Swift. I don't know why.
Damn.
But anyways, I think like it's quite funny. Like it's a music that we grew up with.
I have a funny story. So you know Raw by Katy Perry?
I love that song.
Yeah. Yes. So in secondary school, we had an assembly, and then the teacher that was doing it, I don't know, it was some like empowerment thing. And then at the end, she just played, she was like, listen Raw. To the lyrics. This will really inspire you. And then she played Raw. And we're all saying that like, okay.
That was a huge dispute between her and Sarah, you know, the Sarah song Brave.
Yeah.
Say what, you, what that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's quite a good song to be fair, Roar. But like, yeah.
I just remember yesterday when the Wi-Fi went down in my house. Surprise, surprise. I went onto my like iTunes to see what like films I had downloaded, and then I went onto my music thing and like, it was like all those times where you had to pay like £2 for a song, and like the only songs I had on that. It was just like Fight Song by Ella. No, not Ella Henderson.
It's
no,
Rachel Platten.
Yeah, and like Ghost by Ella Henderson. And
oh,
like,
that's a good one.
It is incredible.
But she's a one-hit wonder. She came from X Factor, no?
I don't know.
Or something.
Just
like,
because someone's a one-hit wonder, if the hit is good.
What's a one-hit wonder? You got a Fight Song?
Somebody That I Used to Know by
Okay, but he does also have. First of all, actually, he makes music by himself. His name's
really
not
cool.
His name's not Gautier. That's the band, and he does make songs by himself, and are pretty good.
That's quite cool.
And also, Gautier has made some other good songs.
Nah, the only thing the one thing I remember intensely about that song is the music video.
Oh, the music video.
When they just like start, like the dots start appearing everywhere.
Amazing.
For me, 2010 will be Carly Rae Jepsen, because I think.
Don't get me started.
Not even that album. Emotion is one of the best underrated pop albums
ever.
Of all time.
One of the best pop albums.
My favorite song is "Run Away with Me." That's one of my favorite songs, and I think that she's one of the most underrated.
Bro, Cut to the Feeling.
That's a good song.
That's insane. She like was amazing. Call Me Maybe.
Yeah.
Reset everything.
Yeah. And that was my favorite song.
I think my least favorite song would be like I really like the one with Justin Bieber in the video. I really, really, really,
that's a good song.
I'm not a fan of that.
No,
I just think
it's so feel good. It's so
It's a feel good. That's coming back to But I think she's a great artist.
Yeah.
And she's come out with some like really good new things as well.
Yeah, that's also what I like. It's like when people who were making music back in the day are like popping up again.
Yeah, Jason Derulo.
I feel Jason Derulo was always making music.
But he's mid, he's always mid.
Now he makes music for like TikTok.
No, I like old artists who are not as popular anymore come back with music, but no one really listens to them, like Carly Rae Jepsen, for example.
I think a lot of it's like the selling factor behind their current music is the fact that they used to be famous.
Yeah.
But then you've also got some artists where like the music's good enough that it would be popular even if they weren't famous before.
Yeah, and then we've also made like a playlist, which is the best playlist ever to work to, because it just comprises
of like 2010s
pop hits.
So like Ellie Goulding, Selena Gomez, quite a bit of
Selena Gomez is just because you fancy her.
No,
the only reason.
A few good songs, Wolves.
To be fair, Wolves is
Lose You to Love Me.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Lose You to Love Me is bad because one of our friends was going through a breakup and then Sean just decided it was appropriate.
It's a very therapeutic way to get out of a relationship.
Every single time he saw her, he just put it on, which I feel like is cruel, to be honest. Now I'm going to look. I'm going to see what.
Speaking of like identifying artists and stuff, we recently played a game we really, really liked. Like, I think I saw it on YouTube first. It was like you just play the music for like a second and you guess the artist and the song name.
You know, I think 2000s pop music is also pretty good.
Mm.
Like, I think maybe Britney. I prefer like 2000s pop
Backstreet
music.
Boys.
Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. Like, they're so good.
But song Torn by Natalie, I forgot that song, but
Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani.
Like Christina Aguilera, like the pop girls.
Yeah.
And what I really like is like, there are some artists, I feel like in pop music now, there are some artists who are really trying to emulate like the 2000s pop
girl.
Like
Dua Lipa,
yeah.
She's trying to, okay, she's disco. Yeah, but.
More disco.
Yeah.
Like, this is my guilty pleasure, is Addison Rae's new album.
That's actually not bad.
Like, it is good. I'm sorry, but like, they are all, like, they get in your head, these songs. Yeah. And she's really, like, the aesthetic that she's giving off is like very like 2000s.
Like Tate McRae.
Oh, I hate Tate McRae.
I think I put Alison Ray, Tate McRae, and like.
That's just because their name's right.
No, but to be fair, they're trying to go back to that kind of like pop punk, that Avril Lavigne kind of vibe. Like Olivia Rodrigo, for example, you could see a very distinct departure.
I think there's a difference.
To be fair, the only Addison Rae song that I have ever listened to, and maybe because of this I haven't listened to any others, is Obsessed.
Oh, yeah, it's so disgusting. That was so bad.
No, it's a good song. I think that's the one that has Charlie XCX.
I just don't like her.
Has Charlie XCX on it?
Yeah.
Damn.
Like, Charlie XCX is pop, like, girl. And
Charlie XCX. Beck for you, Rina Sawayama.
Who's also another pop icon right now.
Really good. XS, I really like that song.
XS. Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, we really have to touch on Taylor Swift if we talk about 2010s now.
We do.
I mean, she's timeless.
But to me, like, that was the period where I start, like, that the music that she produced in that period was my favourite one.
Excitingly, we're actually seeing Taylor Swift next year.
What's your favourite album of hers?
After You.
Ooh, I like Lover. I know it's unpopular.
Really?
But, like, I don't know. I'm like...
Why?
All the feel-good songs, like Paper Rings, like, I don't know. I just think it's good. And I feel like it's the one that everyone initially discards to begin with.
Yeah.
But I just think, like, you can't listen to the album and be, like... sad, you know?
It's the album that has the most skips on it for me.
No.
For me, it's either...
Like, I'm sorry, but you're not listening to, like, fucking... You Need to Calm Down and me featuring Brendan Urie.
Okay, no.
And you It's need... Nice to Wait. Have a Friend.
No. You Need to Calm Down. Okay, maybe. But, like, Cruel Summer, The Man...
Not Death The Man. I don't like
you're
that.
You're basically cherry-picking your favourite song on the album.
Death by a Thousand Cuts is so good.
Okay, that's actually... The bridge was really good.
Exactly. Daylight as well. Like, I don't know.
Okay.
It used to be Lover, but then now I'm kind of... I do like Folklore these days as well.
Folklore's my favourite. It's what got me into Taylor Swift. And, like, you know, it helped me through the pandemic when I was really depressed.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, lyrically amazing. It's such a step away from, like, her previous, like, pop music into, like, folk music.
Really diversify her.
And, like, but, like, she is so good at writing lyrics. Yeah.
My favourite is Red or 1989.
Red. I think Red's quite a...
I think it's a really good album.
I think, like, this is my theory, is that Red's most people's favourite Taylor Swift album because it's, like, from an era where she, like, really blew up.
Yeah.
So it's, like, very nostalgia. It's also very, like, an emotional album.
Yeah.
It varies, like,
for me, it's about how coherent the album was.
It's very coherent.
To me, like, 1989 and Red were very coherent albums, and the concept of it was really good. And to be honest, when I listen to music, it's very controversial, but I don't really listen to the lyrics because I primarily look at, like, the song structure or, like, how chords are being played. And, like, I feel that, like, for Red and, like, 1989, the way she... use different motifs and like it sound really nerdy now, but like
I mean, if you listen to my last episode you would know that I had this
it's how, like, how the kind of chord structures and production you could see it's very consistent throughout the album, so that was kind of my reason
I also think it's kind of like a nostalgia thing as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, 1989 was this quintessential, like, 2010 pop album where, like, you could see how many artists are being influenced by that currently. So yeah, I think so.
I also think that 1989 is the gayest album because I feel like half the songs are literally written about Karlie Kloss or Diana Agron. I am a gay La Truffa. I am a gay La Truffa.
You guys don't know anything?
Oh, yeah,
I don't know enough on that. Do you want me to tell you?
Okay, so you know Karlie Kloss, the model?
The one thing I know about Karlie Kloss is...
She's married to Donald Trump's, like... No.
You know,
like Jared Kushner.
No, you know the meme of, like, the Met Gala when she was, like, looking right in the eye. Yeah, it was so entertaining. Anyway, sorry.
So they had, like, a really close friendship. They were, like, always with each other. They had all these posts where they're like, my love, my favorite girl. And, like, there was this one incident at, like, a 1975 concert where, like, there was a picture of them possibly kissing, and then when the whole drama went down with, like, Kanye West and Kim Kardashian, then Karlie kind of abandoned her. So that's why there's all these songs about, like, betrayal. I know who my real friends are.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and, like, it basically ended up bad. Also, the fact that Taylor Swift has, like, very much a type.
of people, like, she has a type, and her type is people that look like her. And I'm sorry, but Carly Kloss looks exactly like her.
Yeah.
And then the Diana Agron thing. So Diana Agron, she was in Glee. She's the actress.
The blonde one.
Quinn, yeah.
Oh. Yeah,
and they were, like, also very close friends, always posting, like, matching Halloween costumes, that kind of stuff. Very gay vibes. And so, you know her song Wonderland?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we Wonderland. Yeah, yeah. And it's all, like, your green eyes. Diana Agron has green eyes, blah, blah, blah. And to further evidence is that Diana Agron, like, really was into Alice in Wonderland. She literally had a tattoo with a Alice in Wonderland quote. Then, so they like, you know, split up, whatever. Stopped talking. It was quite a dramatic thing. And then once 1989 comes out with the song Wonderland, Diana Agron gets her Alice in Wonderland tattoo removed.
No!
After the album comes out.
Oh,
crazy,
my God.
Crazy.
That's a power fandom, honestly. It's crazy.
To be fair, I feel like I am a bad Taylor Swift fan in that regard.
Yeah.
That, like, there's so much, like, lore and history. And, like,
yeah, see, I know all the...
I feel like I don't know enough to, like,
that's,
all myself.
That's
like,
why
Taylor
Swift is more than a musical artist.
That's
my social phenomenon.
Love
is
my
because she's a cult leader.
She is a cult leader,
true.
I think.
Straight up.
But I like her for music purely. That's for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, sometimes I'm like, mm. I mean, it's a bit much. Where I, like, some of the, like, gala truthers are fucking insane. So I just think of it, like, in a fun way. I'm like, yeah.
What do you think about Travis Kelsey?
Oh, my God. So, did you see recently his old tweets got brought up? He is, like, the one person whose old tweets have resurfaced and he hasn't been cancelled for them.
Damn.
They are so funny. Let me get up a few. Let me get up a few.
He just seems like...
He is such a himbo.
He just seems like such a happy, like...
Happy-go-lucky guy.
Like, a nice guy, yeah.
Okay, I screenshotted some of the best ones.
It's just, like, because I deleted TikTok, like, it took a while for all of, like, the videos about them to make it to Instagram Reels.
So, look at the second one. So, I just gave a squirrely a piece of bread, and it straight smashed all of it! Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. I had no idea they ate bread like that. Haha, hashtag crazy.
No, but I think that's also so fun as well because it's just like he's also like an NFL player full time.
Yeah,
he's just standing there like tweeting these like.
Yeah, bearing in mind this was in 2010.
Yeah. I just remember watching. No, wasn't there a show about like dating
him
Travis?
Him dating, yeah.
Really?
I remember seeing on
yeah,
TikTok.
It's like The Bachelor, but for Travis Kelsey.
Just finding him the
yeah,
right
yeah.
girl.
And I don't know if it was the girl from that who like won Travis. Or like, I just watched
won?
This like. I just watched this like Christ. Interview and she was like, damn, he's like a horrible person, all of that.
Yeah.
And like that was my first introduction of him, but everything that I've seen apart from that,
well,
everyone
know,
seems to be
people
fan.
Aren't people aren't black and white, you know? People
yeah.
aren't good and bad.
Mm.
Yeah, true.
But you know, I'm happy for the relationship.
Yeah.
I'm happy for the album. I really like the 1989 recording of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that was influenced by Travis.
Obviously not, but like,
but,
yeah,
it came out from the same timeline.
Actually, I have mixed feelings about the 1989.
But do you
recording.
Think it's no?
That. Some
you,
of them sound different.
No, some of them sound different. We were playing it side
style.
By side. Style sounds different. The guitar below the line sounds
yeah,
really
I think
different.
Some of the mixing was.
Welcome to New York. The harmony lines were too loud, so you can't really
yeah,
hear
yeah,
the main
like, the
line.
The mixing wasn't great.
And then, but I think that the vault tracks were quite cool. But the thing is, like, do you think that it's written now? Rather than before, to emulate that kind of vibe, or if it's like
no,
written
what
then.
I think is the reason why people think it might have been written now is because Jack Antonoff was producing, and
Max
he has a really distinct like
sound,
way of producing.
Yeah.
Like it sounds very much like
70s. The I think
Midnights.
The guitars and like the
yeah.
banjos.
Oh my God, that motherfucker! He is like I saw this tweet. It was like Jack Antonoff produces. Like he's trying to find the synth G spot.
Yeah.
Which is true, bro.
He's
that man
using
is...
the same synth and the same I forgot what you call it, but like yeah, the same sounds.
But
honest.
Like I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I enjoy them.
Do you like Bleachers?
I don't really listen to them. I don't know. Yeah.
I think
I'm not really interested.
What's your favourite vault track?
Yeah.
I think my favourite would be either Is It Over Now? Because it, to be fair, I really like Out of the Woods, and it's basically the same song.
Yeah.
And I like Say Don't Go as well, and it's written with Diane Warren, which is one of like the best songwriters in 2010. Like she wrote songs with Ariana Grande, with other big like pop stars. So like I think that was an amazing song as well.
You know, there was this whole rumor that Ariana Grande was gonna be on 1989 Taylor's version.
Really?
Because like in the months leading up to it, it was revealed that Ariana Grande like cut ties with Scooter Braun. Because he used to be also her producer.
Yeah.
So then when she cut ties with him, everyone was like, oh my god, Ariana Taylor's version!
Yeah.
But, you know, it didn't happen. She didn't really have any...
I don't think she needs any, like, it, features. To be honest. I think features are a bit overrated, to be honest.
I mean, the Lana Del Rey feature on Midnight's amazing.
The first
Snow
one, the second
beach.
One.
Snow on the Beach. I love that song so much. And they released a new version with, like, more Lana.
Yeah. But, you know, so people were like complaining, oh, there's not enough Lana on the first one, which I agree. I fucking love Lana. But it's actually because Lana Del Rey is like really good at mimicking
the
voices.
Yeah.
So she's actually...
She blends in with the
other
voice.
She was
on it.
She was in Snow on the Beach so much.
Oh.
But people just saw that it was Taylor because she was like blending with Taylor's
choir
voice.
I feel that like you can never replace... People say like, oh, maybe you should just watch online streams and stuff. You can never replace live experiences with like online... We went to... Lord's concert and that was sick.
One of the best concerts I've been to.
That was
to.
The melodrama, that was the
Solar Power. Like, I love Solar Power.
It's
my unpopular opinion is that I like Solar Power more than Melodrama.
I don't agree, but like...
Nobody agrees. Nobody agrees with me.
Melodrama, I think every song I liked and like...
Which one do you prefer?
I fucking love
Hard
Melodrama.
Hard Feelings or Loveless?
Hard Feelings.
It's one song.
No, but you know how it like...
Yeah,
no,
like, that album's produced by Jack Antonoff as well, which is really cool.
Girl, you're acting as if I don't know.
Obviously,
all of Jack Antonoff's.
And like, my favourite song on that album will either be Sober or
Sober.
Perfect Places, because I just really like the synth behind it and the kick drums.
Homemade Dynamite. I think Sober is mine.
The Sober, the trumpets behind it. I think, I was trying to make a cover of Sober, you can't really do it justice, honestly. But like, I think that's such a cool album because you could see how the industry shifted after that album. And like how she honed kind of like the kind of alternative sound and like pop music sound. And like you see SZA and like other artists trying to emulate that kind of soundscape now. But such a good album.
Yeah, I fucking love Lord.
That's the reason why I really like the music in this period of time because it gives me like personal attachment to certain songs and artists that, it's quite nice. It's just quite nice.
It's nice to look back on and think about things like that.
And I remember how she was so like weird, like people thought she was very
alternative. I mean, she is
alternative, but like, it's funny how like it kind of morphs into the whole industry and she kind of becomes mainstream in the middle and like, it's just quite dynamic. You can see how volatile the music industry is as well.
Yeah, to be fair, I think I only listened to like Melodrama fully for like the first time like 2 years ago, because I always like. I mean, the only song that I'd, like, associated with Lorde for a long time is just Royals, and I thought it was bad, and then
Royal
I just, like...
Team.
I like Team,
though. Tennis Court.
Ribs as well.
Ribs is such a good...
Ribs is a banger.
Is it 1,000 Lux or 100?
Oh, 100 Lux.
100 Lux.
But, no, big fan of Melodrama.
Like, all three albums, bangers.
Yeah.
And she has some other, like... singles that are
she's
fucking
from
great.
New Zealand, right?
Yeah.
Sick.
How did you not know that, bro?
I thought you were the best at geography and everything, but like, yeah, she's from New Zealand. Was it Stephen Colbert? She appeared with Jacinda Ardern and Lord. They were having a barbecue behind her backyard, but that was really sick. But yeah.
So speaking of, you know, pop music, let's talk about
But if you think about it, most like Max Martin, for example.
Yeah.
Where is he from?
Sweden. No. I have such immense personal beef with Eurovision this year.
Me too.
For so many reasons.
I
but
like Loreen.
First of all,
I don't.
Everything about this was designed to be Finland's year. Actually, I don't know. That's just complete bias. But the song that Finland produced this year,
Cha-Cha-Cha.
Iconic. First of all, iconic.
Amazing.
Second
song.
Of all, for Loreen to win.
Again.
Great song, but she's already fucking won.
And I'm telling you, it's like my conspiracy is that they just rigged it for Sweden to win.
Because ABBA.
It's going to be the 50-year anniversary since
ABBA. Yeah, and then like in Finland, like everyone was obsessed. Like Garia's like green jacket was everywhere. Like in Helsinki, there's like the Central Railway Station and there's these two statues outside it. And everyone had like popped it on. Yeah, but the televotes. Oh, no. Daniel won the televotes.
No, he won the popular vote.
But it was the grand jury. I mean, come on.
Yeah, the grand jury.
Like, Loreen again. Like, I'm just not a believer in people winning Eurovision, like,
twice.
More than once. Yeah. I think, like, you've had your moment, like, very
excited. No, but that means her career is quite shit, so she had to kind of go back to that.
But yeah, but Sweden has won so many times. It's one of the most successful countries in Eurovision.
I mean, granted, because, like,
Ireland.
Granted, because, like, they do have a really, really good, like, producer base in Sweden.
Yeah, but it's not like Zara Larsson is going to go on to, like, Eurovision.
She's way beyond Eurovision, though.
Yeah.
People were saying Rina Sawayama was going to go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as if she would have gone. Like, I'm sorry.
I think she's beyond that as well.
Rina is so much bigger than Eurovision.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I think Eurovision... When I start watching you probably, it's like, upbringing and stuff. For me, it was, like, after the movie.
No, Eurovision, well, Finland has won once in, I want to say, 2006 with, like, a rock piece. It's actually terrifying. It's called Hard Rock Hallelujah. And, like, everyone is just, like, Finland very much, like, the strange, scandy, like, not, like, Nordic country, like, putting out these, like, people in, like, full prosthetics and stuff.
Mm.
But I remember, like, the first song that I got obsessed with from Eurovision is Only Teardrops.
Oh, that's a good song.
That's where Denmark won. And I can't remember what her name is, but, like, they have these really cool bands and stuff, and she's walking barefoot, and there's, like, water and, like, fire and stuff.
The fact that song, it's so eccentric makes it so good.
Yeah, and after that song, I was obsessed. Like, every single year, I would watch it with my family. And then this year, especially, like, prominent because won. And then my mum texts me afterwards being like, it's always Sweden who wins. She's like, it's just a lesson of life you have to get used to.
Yeah,
for me was Australia because the Asian woman Dami Im, that was one year. That was my starting point to Eurovision. That was like 2017.
But I don't think that Australia should be in fucking
Eurovision. Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Israel is in Eurovision.
Israel,
as well.
That is such that fucking is... bullshit that they are in Eurovision. Actually, pisses me off.
But anyways, I think Eurovision is just a really cool thing. Like, how often is music played as a competitive sport in that sense? Like, competitive landscape in that sense.
I think it's funny because Eurovision, like, originally, like, you were only allowed to sing in your, like, national language. So then it's just, like, everyone who's, like, English or French has an ultimate advantage because, like, respectfully, like, someone from, like, Lithuania or, like, Finland or something, like, people are going to listen to that and they're not going to be able to connect with the song at all. And it was just, like, when the rules changed. But I think it is still cool. Like, that's another thing I liked about Finland this year because, like, they actually sang in Finnish. Yeah. And it's the most streamed Finnish song ever. And like,
really?
It is. Well, that's not hard. But like, I think it's cool when like countries sing in their own language as well, and like when they're able to like bring sort of like awareness.
We watched it during exams. Remember? It was
we watched it in the CBG.
The theater, the bottom floor. We were just watching it.
We put the projector on. But no, Eurovision. I'm such a big fan, and the Eurovision film as well.
Oh, the one with Rachel McAdams and Will Ferrell.
Yeah,
but then. That was going to be perfect because Iceland have never won Eurovision. And the year that the film got released, I don't know if it's coincidental, I'm going to say not because that's cool, was the year that Iceland was like projected to win with that like ginger guy with long hair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then it got cancelled because of COVID.
Yeah.
And then.
Imagine if they won.
Yeah, and then they didn't win the year after that because I think. Who won? Was it Netherlands?
Or was it before. Ukraine? Yeah, no, it was year after Ukraine.
Netherlands was the Duncan Lawrence.
Arcade.
Let me just proud of my country. It's the only time that I've ever felt like the most nationalistic. I'm like, sucks to suck, guys, but we did win.
No,
so.
I did not realise it was Eurovision. Like, it was a Eurovision song for the longest time.
Yeah, it was a TikTok song.
No, because it is such a banging song.
Exactly.
And like, usually Eurovision songs, like, the funny thing about them is that they're kind of bad.
They're objectively bad, but... what's it called?
The camp.
Yeah.
But I have like
guilty pleasures.
No. Well, like I have like a playlist on Spotify for like my favorite Eurovision songs, and I remember one year in particular. There was this. I want to say it's 2017 Romania. There was just like this whole thing was just like these people were just yodeling.
Slow Mo is a sick song.
Slow Mo is a good song, but it's just like these two people like just coming on stage and like yodeling together.
Yeah, I really love it when like some countries they're like, yeah, we're not gonna win. And they're just like, fuck it, let's just do the weirdest shit.
Yeah, like, there was one year Ukraine came out in a really funny costume as well. And like, they just take their, I think,
Oh my god, and then one year, I think with San Marino, they were like guest appearance, and the guest appearance was Flo Rida. It's just like insane. Like,
did they not win?
No, they didn't win. They got like a few publicity votes, obviously. Yeah. But like the thing with like Eurovision as well is that all the voting is
political. But the voting, how voting works and like how it's announced, is quite fun. Like you just sit there and watch it, like how it moves up. And I like Graham Norton a lot. That's why.
Yeah. But then what I think is dumb about that is that like if Eurovision is like a contest which brings people together with music, then why does the jury have so much power? Like I do think that the public should have more say. Yeah. But obviously with like the public voting and stuff as well, it is kind of like.
It's a TikTok song,
like,
obviously.
It's probably less political than the jury voting, because the jury voting of every country, it's like Finland gives 10 points to Sweden. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh my god, crazy. Like
the year that like Ukraine won, like, yeah, they had a decent song, but like, let's be real, it's just because Russia just invaded. Which I was like, how can you be like, oh yeah, we stand by Russia? Everyone was always like, in every speech, oh yeah, we stand by Russia, holding up the Ukraine. No, not standing with Russia. standing with Ukraine.
I'll take you, Lila, what are you saying?
And then, like, they block like Russia from being able to join the competition.
That's a big care.
But then they're like, oh yeah, but for Israel, yeah, Israel, be part of it.
Yeah,
we love Israel. Yeah. It's like so fucking hypocritical. No,
but it is insane. And then it's just like for things like that, it's like. They're never gonna talk about it.
Yeah,
like,
it's so selective.
Thing, like Eurovision, like,
there's like Olympics as well.
Ever, yeah, and it's just like crazy how much like publicity certain situations are given and others aren't.
Are there? So I know, like obviously ABBA became famous because of winning Eurovision. What other artists?
I'm thinking as well. Like,
became famous from Eurovision. I guess I know that there are some, but I just can't think of them.
Måneskin.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like
they blew up because of TikTok
because of Eurovision.
And also because of Eurovision. That's crazy because the grand finals are so fun to watch for so many reasons. But in the grand final when like Måneskin won, definitely butchering the name. But like they thought the lead singer was like taking drugs on TV.
Yeah.
And then like the whole thing wasn't about them winning, it was just about being like, I'm not on drugs. Like it was just like crazy that like that was what they focused on.
But speaking of, I'm sorry, but Loreen was literally so high when the votes were coming in. And every time, like, Sweden received the votes, and she'll be on camera, you can just see it in her eyes. She'll be, like, just waving her hand around, and, like, her eyes are, like... Yeah.
To be fair, I think that was a solid song. I think it was a solid song.
The thing is, it was a good song, but it would have been... You know, in Finland, they were so convinced that they were going to win, that... So, like, in Finland, like, the second big city apart from Helsinki is called Tampere. And then they were like, oh, we're going to, like, host Eurovision there next year. People started, like, booking out hotels for May 2024. Like, there were some which were just, like, fully booked because everyone was like, oh, we need to prepare for when it comes to Finland and stuff. And then it didn't, and it was a big disappointment for everyone.
Heartbreaking.
Garia was just standing there crying. Yeah, he, like,
I mean...
gave a public apology to the nation. And we were just like, please, like, it's okay. It's
He's brought so many hope to the nation as well. So much hope to the nation as well.
Do you guys want to hear about my opticians experience?
Yeah,
so I decided to book myself an eye test for the first time in years. So I was like, yeah, you know, I'm pretty blind. So let me go and get some new glasses. So then I go to the Vision Express, which is like near campus. So it's in central, you know, a nice area.
Yeah.
And then I go in, you know, I'm sitting there in the little room, the little dark room.
Yeah.
I don't have contact lenses in, obviously. I don't have my glasses on. And I'm like, she's like, oh, read the letters on the wall. And I'm like, LMAO. Like, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, great, great. And then she's like, okay, I'm just going to take your glasses to measure them.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. So she leaves the room. So I'm left alone in this dark little room, blind as a baby, bro.
What?
I am, like, vulnerable because I can't see shit. And then suddenly I hear from outside the room in, like, the main foyer where all the glasses are, like, kept, all this shouting and, like, pushing and things moving and being pushed around and, like, yelling. And I'm like, oh my god. And I'm, like, just sitting there, like,
what happened then?
I wonder what's happening. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, when is she going to come back? Like, I can't see shit. I hope they don't come in.
Did you ever find out what happened?
Yeah, I did. So, she comes in, and I'm like, is everything okay? And she's like, yeah, so some people just came in and, like, stole some glasses.
Where was it? Is it in central London?
Yeah, that's
Sean, if you were listening, about 5 seconds ago, I did say it was in central. It's like 5 minutes away from campus.
I'm sorry.
Imagine they stole your glasses.
No, they didn't.
You still have your transparent one, right?
Yeah. I don't think they would have stolen those. But then, so apparently this is the second time.
Really?
The first time they got away with it. They got away with like £2,113 worth of glasses.
Isn't it Hatton Garden?
Not important.
Okay, anyways.
And then, yeah, and they got away with it. But then this time they got caught. So then later
on... Did your optician catch the culprit?
Yeah, like,
they saw them
called the police. And then, so they're now sitting there. Like, you know when they fit the glasses?
Yeah.
And they're like, so they're measuring between my eyes, like my head. They're like, you know, like eugenic style. And then, while the person who's doing it is, while he's measuring me, he's also answering the police questions.
Stop.
So I'm just saying that, like, please just give me my glasses. And he's like, yeah, so they came in at this time, they were like standing here, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, am I like a witness? But then they let me leave, and I was like, oh, that was an interesting experience. So let's go into the final segment.
Oh, yeah?
Media of the week. So.
Okay.
By now, you guys should know what Media of the Week is if you've been listening to my other episodes. Sean, you're a fake fan and you hate me and you don't support my endeavours.
Endeavours, what a lovely word. Okay, continue.
Anyway, so Media of the Week, where we just kind of share some things that we've been into recently. Who wants to go first?
Laura, you want to go first?
Okay, mine is quite...
Keep it
basic, but very topical. I watched the new Hunger Games last week.
Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
Yeah, and...
Sneak preview. Yeah. Might have an episode with someone about the Hunger Games.
With someone, an actor from Hunger Games.
No!
Rachel Zegler.
Yeah. Rachel Zegler's gonna come on r/niche interest.
Why not? No, okay, continue.
But,
sorry.
Yeah, and Olivia Rodrigo's Can't Catch Me Now has been on replay. Like, I love that song so much.
For me, it would be, like... So you recently could see how, like, K-pop artists are, like, dominating Billboard charts, like Jungkook and stuff. Like, there's one song that I really like. It's called Love Me Again by V. It's quite, like, peaceful, I think. So I really like that song recently because I've been quite anxious and busy. So, like, that's something that I look out for. In terms of, like, videos or, like, stuff, YouTube, I love Top Jewel, so I'm going to shout out to Top Jewel. It's a food critic YouTube channel, and they're my inspiration. I want to be them in the future. So,
that's
yeah.
Where your burger critics
come my from. Burger critic. But, like, I really like Top Jewel, so that's something that everyone should check out.
Okay. And then for me, I'm going to... So I promised my friend that I would shout out his music. So go listen to Pau Walters. He makes, like, I don't know what you would call it, like, he's Spanish, and, like, he makes the Spanish music. It's pretty good. So shout out to him, and go listen. I think, also, I want to recommend Saltburn, the movie that came out recently.
Oh, I really want
to
watch that.
It's got Jacob Elordi in, it's got, like, Barry Keoghan. But, yeah, it's a fucking great movie.
Rosamund Pike.
Yes, she's amazing. Crazy. Like, there are some scenes that are insane. Like, the whole, like, movie theatre was gasping. But yeah, recommend. Thank you guys for joining.
Thank you for having us.
And
it's actually fun.
Maybe they'll join me on future episodes.
Maybe.
We'll see.
We support Lila on all her endeavours, so yeah, maybe.
Then listen to the episode.
I would listen to it.
Bro, I listened to the one with Alicia yesterday.
Okay, so thank you guys for listening. As usual, if you have anything to say...
Like, rate,
subscribe, follow, listen, send to your friends.
Have a good week. Love.
And if you have anything to say, you can email. It'll be in the description. And bye.
Bye.